Yeah, it just, the attorney made that ruling, and when I was still the president of the board many years ago, and I was like, I don't even, I'm not in committees that even get to discuss any decisions. I have no decision making.
You have nothing to do with it, basically, it's just the
I have nothing to do with any, I have nothing to do with decisions that affect my job.
I'm sure you don't, yeah. The big system.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to have something to do with decisions that affect the work that I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the bigger stuff, yeah. Kim.
Recording in progress.
Well, I managed to get to the landscape recycling center and dump off a load of landscape trash this morning.
Good for you.
Wow. The one over on
On University, just off of University.
I often go to where the university one is on Lincoln Avenue, because mine's usually Master Gardener.
Oh, you could go there.
I could go there.
Yeah, that's not over the public.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite places.
Well, I'll have to go check it out, because
Until the end of March, you can get a truckload of fine quality mulch for $10.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's probably going to cost you as much as $30. No, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. It costs $30 for a truckload.
It's incredibly cheap.
Oh, yeah. And it's high quality.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not ready for mulch yet, otherwise I'd go get, I don't want to have it just sitting in my truck.
Yeah.
Although I could do that.
You know, it'll warm up in another 2 weeks, maybe.
Maybe I'll go back.
Well, you're dressed for work.
I'm over here. I'm over here.
Yeah. Yeah. This should be no more than an hour. Even if lots of discussion by the audience. Well, I just got back from a nice weekend in San Antonio. I haven't been there in 10 years. And the Riverwalk really is kind of pleasant.
Good.
Except that they had 100 bands playing for the 3 days that I was there. And they didn't stop until
after 10 o'clock
at night. They were all Mexican music, you know,
mariachi,
and it was lovely. But after 9 o'clock,
you'd had enough.
And my hotel room was on the Riverwalk.
Okay,
so I was like, oh please.
They quit at 10.
They quit it.
Stephanie, I'll remove your spotlight once you are done doing your roll call.
It was so nice. Flowers and trees leafed out, and
I was in Southern California and then San Francisco Bay Area for almost 2 weeks.
Nice.
A little over a week ago. And they're early spring, even in Southern California. I mean, they've got palm trees,
yes,
but their deciduous trees weren't that much
ahead of us.
Okay. Yeah. So I came back and I was like, you know. And then all of our magnolias decided to bloom.
And
early.
They're and now
again.
I know.
They don't learn.
So
year after year, they do that, and they don't learn. What do we have, about 1 out of 5 years, we get the full blooming season?
I'm just glad that it's not dark.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's officially spring. Yesterday was the equinox.
Yep.
I thought that was a little early, but I guess it's because of leap year.
Uh-huh. That means to the 21st.
20th or 21st.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because it's leap year.
It's leap year.
Yeah.
Can we stop here?
Well, we've got a quorum anyway, so we're good.
So much easier being on this board.
being the president of this board, I mean, I spent quite a bit more time than I do now. Now right. I just look through the materials right. and that's all I do. But
I spent hours when I was on the board, especially when we were revising how we were going to do things.
And I thank you very much for that.
It was worth it.
I thank you because we adopted that here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And our job here is pretty easy.
Yeah. I remember how much Julian and Tom complained about it at one point. And they said, you know how to read plans. You work at the university.
Oh my gosh. Julian used to drive me absolutely nuts. Have you seen him? Is he doing okay?
He's doing okay. I had dinner with him and Elaine Valencia and their spouses last summer.
Okay.
And it was very nice. And I learned that Julian met his wife at a bar mitzvah when they were like 14 or 15. Who would have ever thought? And they've been married, you know, since they were 21 or 22. She's a lovely lady. He looked significantly older than he did just a couple of years ago, as did Tom when I ran into him.
I see Tom. We have intersecting uh-huh. events that we go to uh-huh. quite often, uh-huh. and I see him. He and his wife moved to Park
Lindsay. That's what I thought. Yeah. But I still see him going over to the fitness center to work out.
Yeah.
I think it's just nice to get out.
Well, they moved to Clark Lindsay before they had to.
Uh-huh.
And I have made absolutely no plans for myself whatsoever. And I'm single.
I am too.
And I don't have anybody who's going to look out for me.
I don't either.
My family thinks I'm indestructible. They
mind us
don't
too.
Check in on me or anything.
Nope. No, I'm on my own. My son, you know,
when
does
I had COVID,
call.
They didn't call me. Just to say, are you okay? Is there anything we can do? You want some soup? You know?
No, I understand. I'm on a wait list if I ever need to be, but it's the minimum payment, and then I just figure. I think I can renovate the downstairs of my house into a bedroom, bathroom, partial bathroom, and never leave the house. I mean, I've been over to Buck Lindsay several times to have dinner with friends.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, but I am too young for it yet. I mean, it's just.
Nice place to visit, wouldn't want to live there.
That's exactly how I feel about it. Too many people with walkers, and too many of them I know. And they're all 10 to 15 years older than me.
Well, I have two close friends. As a matter of fact, we often eat dinner together at my house with me mm-hmm. cooking. Because I like to cook.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm by myself.
Yeah, I cooked a big meal yesterday.
And they like to eat, and they're by themselves. They both have Parkinson's now.
One of them had
Parkinson's for several years and is still doing really well. She's got this, which makes it hard for her to eat, but she gets it down.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple glasses of wine seem to help a little
bit
too. But
I like to drink a glass while I'm cooking. Pour some in.
She's traveling internationally. I mean, she always liked to travel internationally, but now she's just like back to back.
Fit it in.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. It's just a few minutes after 9 o'clock. Hopefully Kim will be showing up a little. She's going to be a little bit late, but she'll be here. So we need the call to, we doubt that was the call to order. Roll call is next.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Kim Fisher. Vicki Nyswander.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
All right, moving through the agenda, we have the schedules, the timeline.
Probably the agenda first.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Approval of the agenda is next. And just to note that at the end of the agenda, right before adjournment, we have a review of closed session minutes. If there is any discussion needed for those, we would have to go into a closed session. So everyone's shaking their head no? Yeah? Ann says, I don't know. You're just going to hold out till the very end, aren't you?
I have to recuse myself on the advice of our attorney.
Okay. All right, then. Sounds good to me. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as written.
So moved.
And second. Thank you. Any other discussion? Welcome, Kim. That's okay. You're here just in time. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Now, the schedules and timeline are on page 3-7. The acronyms and glossary included on page 8-15. Is there any citizen input or public participation? All the faces in the audience look pretty familiar to me, so I'm thinking not. All right. My comments are next on the agenda. I just want to thank the board and the staff for being so patient and kind with me a month ago. Well, 5 weeks ago tomorrow, I had knee replacement surgery, and you guys carried on just fine. And by the way, I am doing just fine. I appreciated Ann's advice. If you ever get a knee replacement, be sure and check in with her, because she'll give you the things to do to make it work well.
And thanks to Georgiana for chairing the meeting. I appreciate that.
Oh,
you're not on?
Oh, you did?
Okay. And we'll turn it back on again. There we go. So I think we're all looking forward to diving into those proposals that have been written. Thanks to all of you who participated in that. I know it's a ton of work, but it's much appreciated. And as we dig into the details of the budgets and the staff numbers and all that kind of thing, I just hope we don't lose sight of why we're in the business that we're in. It's about the people that we serve and how do we do something to help improve their lot, whether that's, you know, following their person-centered plans, doing something a little bit more individualized, just making them a better part, a bigger part of their communities with all the resources that we all enjoy. How do we make that happen for them? So that's all I have to say. Thank you. It's good to be back. Thanks. And let's see, moving on. Lynn, you're next up.
You know, I didn't think about comments. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm just always very concerned about hitting record. So it kind of consumes, right? Consumes my mind for at least 24 hours in advance, and then I don't always do it. So I did. Because Will was here, and he said, you better hit record. So, and it is written down, it's step 20 on my list of steps. So, for that reason, I'm not ever really prepared to give comments, but I will just take what you said and add a little bit. We are in the middle of going through the applications, and it is, there are some very thoughtful applications. It's kind of, there are a couple times a year where I feel like, we really should celebrate what a special community we live in, that people take the time to write this, that they want to do this. That's huge. You know, Kim Bowdry and I both have some committee involvements at the state and national levels where other counties are trying to figure out what to do about, like, what can they do in the space of, say, DSP bonuses? And we're like, hey. You know, so and the other things too. So like, just not, I'm not to say that we're just so far ahead of everyone else, because it's very difficult to do that in this industry, but just to say that the work that is consistently done in this community, maybe even before the Developmental Disabilities Board existed, and maybe this is part of why it exists, is really commendable, and I am happy to live here. So anyway, then there's lots of details like reading the budgets and finding little things that could be better maybe. Or I also have the big question that Susan Fowler posed last month is still with us. We do not know yet how much money we're going to have to spend, and reflecting back, you know, appreciating the quality of these applications and then reflecting back on the last 4 years when, thanks to, you know, some federal and state infusions, there was more, and also thanks to, unfortunately, the shrinking workforce, there was more money available than there were applications. Sometimes that is not the situation we'll be in this year, but I can't say yet how competitive it will be. I think Chris and I did preliminary figures at around the same time, and it was a small shortfall, maybe $20,000. But these figures change throughout the spring, and then we find out, you know, next year how much money we're really going to have for next year. So we've been careful for many, many years and have not gone over budget. But the glory days of big federal and state money might be over. So anyway, but we hope for a peaceful review season and like a happy contracting season. That's the cherry on top, right? So
absolutely.
Anyway, so there's so much more to talk about with DD Services, but I think I should stop and just be glad I hit record and let you move on. The board packet is full of information, which you may or may not use. It's kind of parked there so that we can use it in the future. We also want the public to be aware of this information. There are two big memos. One is from me and one is from Kim Bowdry that do have information we'll return to eventually. So it's really important for us to get it in front of you and the public, but it does not, you are not compelled to do a single thing about any of it. Just have it. Enjoy it. So anyway, on that, you might have a really short meeting. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Last time you said that, we had a nice long one.
Okay, so I won't say that. All right, I'm done.
Okay, moving on to the approval of board meeting minutes from last month. That's pages 16 to 19. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. A second?
And I will second that motion.
Thank you, Georgiana. Any comments, questions, changes to be made? All right, then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, very good. That motion carries. Vendor invoice lists from page 20 to 25.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any questions on that, comments?
We rely on you, Georgiana.
Yeah, Georgiana, what have you got? What? Okay. And see, I always forget. On this one, do we need an individual roll call? This is all approved.
Even though it does have to do with money, it's accepting the way the money's been spent, that the way it's been spent conforms to what you already approved, which is when you needed the...
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to double check. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, very good. Motion carries. Staff reports are included, as always. Staff reports are very impressive. Any questions or comments for the staff on this? All right, then, moving on. New business, 2025 funding request, page 59. I'm not sure where we go with what direction you anticipate going with this. Everyone has their assignments, and so I would anticipate that... those who are interested will, which is all of us, will go through them very carefully. And when we come back next month, we'll have a gazillion questions for the agencies.
I have a question. Will the board, Lynn or Kim, send out the applications to each of us, or the summaries of the applications to each of us that are in charge?
Well, we sent all of the applications to all of you, and I can do that again. That's easy.
Okay.
I'll do that today. Send all applications. The program summaries take a really long time. So, for example, there are 40 total between the two boards. There are 6 staff. Everybody has a role in them, like some particular things they're looking for and adding to it. My role takes almost an entire day to do for each one. That's 40 days. So there, we can't get those to you any faster than about a week in advance of that April meeting. So that, what is that, April 8? Maybe that's the eclipse day, and that's the day that we will be taking all of the work that we've put together and putting it into board packet format, at which time we can share them with you individually too, because that might make it easier for you to do your own review. Like if we send just the program summaries that you might be looking at. So, but it's really like I would love to get them to you as we go, but we just like everybody's working on them at the same time. We're going to have a big meeting about them. And then, so I'm so sorry. But
if we only had, you know, 3 more months in the year to work on
I know.
All this, they could...
And it isn't, you know, we're not really like editing what we see. So that is part of what's happening, but we're also looking at financial history. So that means rereading audits, or we do take notes on the audits as they come in. So we're going back to those and seeing, are there things like internal control is a big deal for a lot of small agencies. So how do we want to say that? Because the, you know, the agency board typically approves a strategy that the auditor has found. So there's like a lot of information we want to draw into this one document for you, not all of which might be important to you. And right. And then, you know, some of its historical performance data, also possibly not important to you and sometimes not perfectly aligned with the new application. So there's just a, you know, if I send them to you and you have feedback, like, you know, this is 2 pages of stuff I don't need to see, I'd love to hear that. But because of the time crunch, I don't think you ever get really a chance to give me that kind of feedback either. I'm sorry. Y'all were good.
Well, I think historically the staff summaries have been very valuable. I would not change them at all. I trust the staff to do a good job with that. And if you just, when you have them available, if you could send them to people electronically, that might give us, instead of having them be in a big batch, and just sending them electronically is fine.
Well, our goal for final publication is that, is it April 10, 1 week before the board meeting? And that final publication means the agencies and the public will also be able to see them. But we can't, if we're confident that it's done before that April 8, when we're putting them together, I'll absolutely send you the ones that you're looking at especially. Maybe all of them. You can, because you all... you know, should have access to all. So, okay.
Okay. This really has to do with the timeline of how we're going to do this, because I don't remember exactly. So we get the summaries in April, and in our April meeting, we review the summaries. So that's going to be a long meeting if we get all of them done. Yes. That would be the expectation. Then on April 17, we would have the review and the discussion of all of the applications.
Right, and then okay. The vote takes place in May.
And then the vote takes place in May. So based on how we've done things in the past, if we do a really good job before the April meeting, and if we do a really good job at the April meeting, then the May meeting is more or less a picnic.
True. Very true.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no problem. Next thing on the agenda. Oh, yes. I really do need to pay more attention to people's
You're
hands.
Doing great.
You know,
so,
just speak up.
Lynn, so I would just say, keep with your, my thing would be to just keep with your plan. I think you don't need to send things as they come. Just, it seems more work for you. Like you just have a deadline. The team has a deadline. Just send them out. But so, and then I had another question. Oh, so at the May meeting when we're voting, will we have a discussion about decisions about, I mean, you, like in the past year, since I've been on the board, we haven't really had to say to agencies, we'll fund 90% of what you've asked for. Will we have to do that in May? Will we know anything? Or is that more like in August, in September, when you get the final budget, that's when we make those decisions generally?
So I mean, I think I say, like, just referring back to the horrors of 2009, like, everybody remembers that. We're really trying to give you one set of decisions to make in May. We've had the luxury for a few years of having enough money to do almost everything. If we don't have that luxury, we could build into the May memo some conditions about, you know, fund this at 75% now, and then if more money is available, amend the contract. But we could present you all of those options in May so that the contracts go out, and if in the event we do have more money, there's less for you to do later. We just, like, you pre-decide. And there's almost always more money. It's just, I can't, like, there is one year where people didn't want to pay taxes. I don't know if you all remember that. In 2020, a lot of people said, I'm not paying taxes. We had the lowest collection rate ever. It was something like 90% instead of the usual 99. That was a lot of money. Was it is usual 99 or 95? Still a lot of money. Like, it could have affected contracts, but we were in a really good financial position ourselves, so it didn't. So does that help?
Yes, and just a follow-up. So we may need to discuss, like, should we be prepared to discuss saying, like, well, I think this program should be funded at 80% versus this other program, 75%. Is that a discussion that folks have had in the past? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we could, there are, in the last few years, decision memos, I've listed some strategies for controlling spending up front. Like, one is fee-for-service contracts, like, cover your ears. Like, Aaron hates them. We did a couple of experiments around, similar to fee-for-service, is a per member per month structure. We did that one year. It didn't really change anything, but it is a way of controlling upfront costs by making half the year reimbursement based. So that way, if we're running out of money and, you know, we're not going, and if the agencies, so the way things are now is mostly grants, so more money goes out than might be used, which is why at the end of the year, agencies return money to us that wasn't spent. And this is all based on the presumption that it is hard to stay fully staffed. So, you know, you're budgeting and applying for your best case scenario, knowing that it might not happen, and then returning the specific amounts that weren't used for the purposes described. That's worked, you know, pretty well, but it doesn't help us if we don't have enough money up front to go out. So the things that most funders do are rely on reimbursement-based contracts. We have avoided that for certain reasons that I still feel pretty committed to, but we could use a combination of reimbursement-based, like some contracts could be purchasing specific services, or so they are reimbursement-based, or some could be paid on performance metrics. We have one contract like that right now. That's worked out pretty well. But anyway, that's one way to control the money. Another way is to say, well, it, you know, we love this whole application, but this one thing here costs X amount of money, which we can't afford, so don't do that thing. So that's, you know, possible, and we're trying to be on the lookout for things like that. Like if there's an error in budgets, sometimes there's an amount wasn't carried forward correctly. So not the DD board, but of mental health board applications, there's one that looks to be about, they're asking for about $2,000 more than they actually need because they made a $2,000 mistake. So it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but we're looking for things like that. So these are a few ways to save money up front if we have to. It's a bad position. Okay.
Any other comments or questions? I'm watching, waiting. Okay, moving on to 12B, the service activity data is starting on page 60. Any comments or questions on that? Yes.
Because this is my first year on the board, I'm still becoming familiarized with programs. Oops, is it on?
You're on.
Yeah.
It's on.
Yeah. And I just, I had a hopefully quick question about DSC, the Connections program, which served 25 people for 1,216 hours with total payments of $95,000. Could you tell me just a little bit more about what the Connections program is? I don't have a concern. I just have lack of knowledge.
Annette Becker, DSC. Actually, what you're going to hear is what I was going to say for my success story later. So I'll just only make one trip. So because I might trip if I make too many trips. So Connections is really about helping artists supported by DSC make connections to other artists within the community. I'm taking out my Comic-Con comment because that's not Connections. So just to kind of put everything in perspective, so we are going to be a venue for Boneyard Arts Festival. And this year we are having 26 artists display their work. 14 of those, possibly 27, another person we haven't gotten a commitment from. 14 of those 26 are artists supported by DSC. The other 12 are community artists who we're opening our space to. Six of those 12 from the community identify as having a disability, and the other six do not. So it truly is the whole art community coming together. So in addition to the groups, there's also that kind of external component. The other thing that we've started being able to do is have artists come in and be able to use the space, and then they will provide a class, at least one class, based on their area of expertise. And so to kind of put it in perspective, when I hate to keep bringing COVID into things, but in early March of 2020, we had just had an amazing open house, and we were really pumped, and then a week or two later, everything closed down because of COVID. So over the next couple of years, we just kind of survived, and we started selling things online just to kind of keep things rolling. Artists still were involved in when you do things on virtual art shows. And then as the community opened, we started opening as well. So we've kind of, again, just been building back up to where we had hoped to be seamlessly. Last year, when we were a venue for Boneyard, we had 500 visitors to our venue, which is pretty remarkable. And so, you know, again, we just kind of keep building toward that. So it's the groups, but it's also that connection for the art community as a whole, so that people with and without disabilities can connect. One of the things we did in the past, too, we had the Champaign-Urbana Poetry Club come, and I think that was the last event we had. So it was art as well as the poetry club, and there were over 100 people who participated in that. And I was just blown away by not only the people from the community who really were invested in that, but we had one person in particular who really kind of was struggling with getting through. He does his own rap music, and he was reciting it, and he started becoming very self-conscious, and everybody in the audience were just like, you've got this, you can do it, and he got through it. I still get choked up about that. And again, it was just beautiful to see how the community kind of, it does every time, it does. And I can't do that because it always embarrasses me, but anyway, so does that answer your question?
Is that the location that is in downtown?
110 East University, yeah. The
Crow at 110. Open house at Christmas, near the holidays, open house. Okay,
yeah.
Now I know what it is.
Yes,
yeah,
and,
thank you.
And I have to say, I can't take any credit for it. AJ Zwettler, who is the manager of the program, has a great connection with the art community. This is where his heart is, so I get to talk about it. And he and some of his staff who actually have degrees in art are the ones who really make it happen. So,
other comments or questions? All right, then. Moving on to the evaluation capacity building project. Do we have somebody on Zoom to talk about that?
Yes, I'm on Zoom here. Let me turn my camera on.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dana. So I want to give you all an update on the capacity building project here. So we've been making quite a bit of progress. We're meeting with two agencies, and currently we're going over their evaluation capacity, and we're working with one agency building a logic model and closely, developing a plan to build the evaluation capacity. We're also planning to hold a follow-up focus group on the group level assessment we did way back in November, just to get a little bit better idea of some action items and things like that that will be valuable because we ran out of time in the initial meeting. And then we're also working on our micro trainings and developing some videos. We have a new associate director at the Family Resiliency Center who's kind of has a really good background in that. So we're working closely with him as well. And then we're also working on the annual report. So, yeah, and that's the update. Thanks.
Any questions? All right, then. Moving on, the expo report. Do we have these postcards
well,
that are mentioned?
The postcards. Let me show you. Do you want postcards?
I'd like to have a couple of postcards.
I have really bad news for everyone. I took all those postcards and distributed them to county departments give to the people they serve. So we don't have any postcards for board members, Kim, because of me.
Well.
We'll hit you next month.
Okay, that's fine. So, that's in plenty of time.
But I need to turn them so they're visually stunning. There we go. So, yeah, I think the expo is so big and has so much history here that we all know a lot about it and have views about it. In my view, the fact that we know the date and the location this early in the year is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It could allow us to not spend enormous amounts of time trying to figure all that out. Just, ease into it. Kim and I both have been hopeful for a greater focus on the core, which is people with developmental disabilities. Not exactly sure how to do that, but y'all work with some pretty amazing self-advocates, so we might be seeking their input. We're in the really very early planning stages, but we have the pretty postcards. We're having a very difficult conversation about sponsorship because the people who put the expo together feel they're taking the financial responsibility very seriously and they want to raise as much money as possible. And they're spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to attract more big business sponsors, which, I'm not sure that matches with the core mission. I'm not sure I'm as worried about it as they are, but bless their hearts for taking it seriously and putting energy into that. So we're having a difficult conversation right now about just how much to offer corporate or business sponsors, and does that detract from the experience for Champaign County residents who have developmental disabilities or other disabilities. Just, it's a fine line, I think. We want it all to be supportive, right?
So. Yeah, and I don't think it's just the Disability Resource Expo that's experiencing that lack of corporate support. Many events in town are experiencing exactly the same thing because businesses took a hit through COVID, and now they are trying to recover from that. So certainly not the fault of the organizers of the expo, that's for sure.
No, they're really trying.
Any other thoughts or comments there? All right, then. Man, we are just zooming through this agenda. Successes and other agency information is next.
Good morning, Patty Walters, DSC. Just a couple of things, mostly FYIs, save the dates kind of things. One, TPC has their event coming up on Thursday, April 18th. DSC has several people participating in that. And the agenda and the, you know, the plans for the day look really great. I think there's kind of a range of post-secondary educational opportunities with you know, some of the agency providers and what they do. I think it's going to be really well represented with DSC, Community Choices, ISC. So that's coming up on April 18th. And then the ABLE informational meeting that I mentioned last month, just kind of a save the date. I meant to bring my phone up here so that I could refer to it. And that is May 13th. It's going to be at the library next month, and I can give it to you as soon as it's available. I guess staff can share with the board. It's a Monday evening from 6:30 to 7:30. It's a hybrid model, so we have the library reserved, and representation will be through Zoom with some ability to field questions on the spot and support people that are there in person. They are not doing it in person right now, but we didn't want to delay until they're ready to do that. Wanted to get this information out, and we can always repeat it. Yes, ma'am.
Patty, could you say what TPC is?
Oh, yeah, Transition
ABLE,
Planning Committee.
The ABLE account. I'm sorry, go back.
Transitional Planning Committee. So it's a representative, a lot of agencies, and with a focus on school age, like transition, high school transition, and what opportunities exist post-graduation.
And then ABLE, is that the ABLE account?
It is.
Okay.
So the ABLE informational meeting, we're working with the treasurer's office. That's who's going to be kind of the hosting, providing the information online for us. There'll be the ability for people to participate from home, but we're hoping to have, you know, a good group on site to help with that, to make that successful. So I will have formal flyers in the next week or so and really kind of start doing more to promote the event with some outreach. We've got the person that does intake for DSC is giving me school contacts, and we just want to kind of open it up to everyone. You know, we'll use, you know, CU ABLE's Facebook page and our website and, you know, e-newsletters and different modes to kind of promote the event. And I think we have the ability to have 80 people in person. So hoping for a good turnout. I think there's lots of interest. And I think one kind of demographic that's left out of that sometimes is the really parents with young children, to really get them involved in learning more about it, whether it's relevant in the moment for them or not, but just to kind of start the narrative. So I think we have a really good opportunity to see people with kids of all ages that might be able to benefit from those accounts. So that is, again, May 13th. And then the last thing that I was going to mention is I don't know who in the room has heard about Team NOAA. So part of the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon, there's a 5K on Friday evening, and there is an effort to really increase participation through Team NOAA. NOAA is a gentleman, young man, that passed away a few years ago right as COVID hit, had some significant disabilities, and his parents had initiated a Team NOAA with an intent to really promote people with disabilities being active and just, you know, draw attention to the disability community. This year, they're offering to sponsor and pay for individuals that want to participate in that and a support person. So we are in the process of kind of trying to promote that as well. We'll get some more information out about that in the next week. And it's basically Team NOAA walk, roll, run, you know, so that people that don't typically get to participate have the opportunity to. It takes some training. I mean, we're really scrambling to see if there's some people, whether they reside in some of the group homes or in community living or whatever, that have the stamina to do, without some training, to do a 5K, and what that means, if we can pick them up halfway, if they're not able to make it, or how we'll kind of navigate that, but want people to be able to participate, and it's free to represent Team NOAA. So that's a really cool thing that we're trying to help solicit and get some people involved in, and that is on Friday night, April 26th. So it's not until 7:30, so that's another kind of maybe a hiccup in terms of getting some of the younger families involved. That's kind of late for a start, because, you know, for 5K, that's quite a distance and probably not a lot of runners. So it could be a late night. But either way, we're going to promote the heck out of it, and we'll make sure that everybody else has information to do that as well. So those
is
are things
April 26th the date that you're recruiting, putting together a team, or is that the date that...
That's the date of the race.
That's the date of the race.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and this is the first year that the full marathon is back on Saturday. So, you know, if you haven't ever participated in that, DSC helps with the corral team at the very beginning of the race, and it's really... something to be a part of. It's really cool to see, you know, everybody get involved in that and the teams, and so to see this, them kind of beef up the 5K is exciting too. So I'm hoping we'll have some participants, but I think they had about 30 people participate last year, and they're hoping for 80. So hopefully we'll be able to kind of help reach, you know, at least help increase the number of participants this year. So I'll have more information, and we'll just send that again to staff as soon as that's I can get that out pretty quickly. Okay,
great.
Uh-huh.
So thanks so much for all these updates, Patty. So for TPC, two questions. So have you guys communicated with the district? Because I have not received any information about the April 18th event, like personally, because I have a son who would be eligible. And then the second thing is, do you guys have a website that has your meetings? There is a website, like a Google TPC, Champaign TPC website, but it hadn't been active for a while. So I was just wondering, should I be looking somewhere else for that information? Or maybe you guys haven't updated
it. I can send you some information, but I can also deflect. Lori Wachtel is the person that sits on the committee for DSC, and so she would have the most current information, but Becca is also very involved. And so I'm assuming she's probably going to reference it as well when she steps in. So since she's more actively involved in it, I'll let her share more details with you on how to access it. Okay. Anything else? Okay, fun things happening. It's spring. It's spring. So thank you.
Becca from Community Choices. In answer to your question, they do have a website. I don't know how up-to-date it is, and I'm happy to add you to the, or actually ask Joe Pittenger, who's the new chairperson. So the committee has gone through actually like a pretty big transition starting this year last year and this year with Jim Mayer. He used to be very involved with running it and he's kind of retired and stepped away a bit more. Joe Pittenger has come in, and I believe Annie Bruno, who has worked many places and is currently with the Arc of Illinois, are the two sort of co-chairs of that. In terms of the transition event, it's called Getting Ready for the Real World Student Retreat. We're calling it a retreat this year. We tried to kind of give it a different different structure and a different energy. The way that the registrations are going is they're going through the school. So if you're in Champaign County, it should have gone to your student's teacher. So we had a meeting yesterday afternoon, and we've got, I think, 120 some kids registered at this point. There's a couple schools that we hadn't heard from, and so that's kind of on the agenda for the rest of this week and next week to reach out to them and make sure that they are coming if they would like to come. we're pretty excited. We've got a lot of sort of fun, energetic things happening and hopefully some really good information that's a little bit more targeted to what students might want. So we've got folks from the U of I who are coming. We have kind of two different, tracks, if you want to say, talking about some educational opportunities. Parkland is going to be there, I believe. We have the Housing Authority coming to talk about sort of tenant rights, what to look for in terms of, like, you know, what things you need to think about when you're getting your first apartment, as well as what sort of programs and services might be available to a young person who maybe doesn't have the money to afford an apartment on their own. Obviously, getting a voucher is like, it's not just like, here you go. But helping kids sort of understand that there are resources out there that they can sort of access when they get to that point in their life if they need it, I think is one of sort of the underlying kind of themes of the event. So school, what is the third thing? Employment. Yeah, I can't. I'm like totally blanking on who's going to do the other employment thing. So, but yeah, no, we're pretty excited about it. But if you don't, and then in terms of the regular meetings, there's actually a meeting on Friday at, is it 1 or 1:30? One. And it's at the Douglas Branch Library in Champaign. We've been meeting there for this past sort of, you know, fiscal year. And that's been working really well. So we've been getting a pretty good turnout. So, and then I'll just talk briefly, just a couple things going on with Community Choices. I've mentioned it a few times sort of in the lead up, but this week we are actually sort of like launching our participation in this international research project through Queen's University in Canada. And their sort of head researcher, Dr. Heather Aldersley, is going to be here in like an hour to join us. And we have a big sort of meeting and sort of discussion planned with all of our members. That we're really excited about. And so it actually, we've gotten a lot more RSVPs than I realized. So hopefully everybody fits. So that's pretty exciting. And we're gearing up for that this week. One of the other things that we're really excited about is we're going to be presenting at the ART Conference in, I think it's in Bloomington, and I think it's May 8th, early May. Sort of from our Connect department, talking specifically about our sort of the newer structure that we've been using called community coaching, where we're using kind of a time limited sort of structured approach to helping people build skills or make connections into the community. And so we're excited to do that. So if you're at the conference, I think it's going to be a hybrid event if I'm not. Yeah, so it might be easy to attend. And then just really briefly, just a couple success stories. We just had a couple individuals that we've worked with on and off over the years in employment. And I really think this is like something that I want to highlight a little bit, because some people find a job and they have that job for 10, 15 years, and that's great. But that is not actually the experience that most people have, regardless of disability. And so it's been really nice to find people who, you know, we help find a job and they are doing really well. We don't hear from them for a little while, and they come back and they say, you know what, I'm kind of sick of this and I'd like to try something new. And we just had two individuals kind of in that situation approach us in the last few months, and we were able to help both of them not only find a new position but find a different kind of position. And so that was a really nice one person kind of went from working in the like hotel industry when he was kind of like, I'm really bored, I never have anybody to talk to, and he's now working at TJ Maxx, and so he gets to interact with customers, and he's much happier. And the other individual had been working at kind of a big box store. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of fine. I do pretty much whatever. And we found a couple different opportunities for him. And one of them was actually at the Park District doing some grounds work. And he was like, oh, my God, to be outside and, like, getting to sort of, like, move around and not be just kind of, like, you know, hunkered down in a building was something that he was really excited about, too. And so, yeah. So I think those are sort of, like, those little small successes. And one of the things that we really want to be able to do with people when we support them in employment is say, like, hey, this doesn't have to be, like, okay, you've made your employment goal and we never see you again. Like, if you come back to us, we're really happy to see that, too. So, yeah, thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mel on Zoom.
Mel is online and wants to speak.
Yeah, go, Mel.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you guys could hear me. Just a few things that I want to share. One of our biggest exciting news is PACE has just moved. We are now at Lincoln Square Mall, second floor, suite 211. So if you're going to the southeast entrance, you can take the elevator, and we are immediately at the second floor. So if you are looking for us, we have a different location. We're hoping to share a flyer pretty soon to let everyone know that we have moved. But that one is our pretty exciting news. I guess I'll just piggyback on what Patty said. PACE is a running charity partner at the Illinois Marathon. So we're kind of like involved in the groundwork. We have, as I said, there's a lot of things that's going good with Illinois. It's our first time and stuff. So, but a lot of people with disability are participating. Well, actually, in being a charity writing partner, we actually have a group for the low vision program that we have. And then we also have one that is for the deaf community. It's a team. So I'm encouraging everybody if anyone wanted to create a team for a certain disability and stuff, feel free to connect with PACE, because we would love for you to join with us and stuff as a charity running partner. Few of us are participating actively at the 5K. Some of our consumer participating, Noah. I do have to say, that was one of my concerns that we possibly have problems with the 5A, but we are reassured in our monthly meeting as a charity running partner. So if you're struggling, you can talk through, and we will be taking, separate and stuff like that. So no worries on that one. If we all can't finish, and if you participate and not able to finish 5A, you can get through. And I'm definitely looking for that one. So feel free to connect with me at PACE, because I am the representative for the Illinois Marathon as a charity running partner for PACE. We are still looking for volunteers. So if anyone wants to get involved, please feel free to contact me. I can share with you the link. Because again, it's coming up pretty soon next month. So I urge everyone who wants to get involved, please volunteer to make that a successful event. A few things that I want to share beside us moving is we also, for our youth transition program here at PACE, we are going to start our teen night. There will be free pizza sponsored by Jets. So if anyone wants to hang out with us on the 27th for teen night, I will definitely share out a flyer, but we will have our first event on that one for teen night here at a new location. We also partner up with U of I Extension, and we will have a series of cooking class here at PACE. The good thing about us, you get to take home what you have prepared, so you can have one what you prepared for dinner. So if you are interested of joining us in our cooking class, please don't hesitate to give us a call here at PACE. But also, I will be sending out flyers for that. The last thing is that we are also in the expo for the Illinois Marathon, hoping for our outreach to share our program, also hoping for recruitment for the personal support worker for PACE and stuff. So we are involved in their expo, which is Thursday night, and all day Friday is the expo for the Illinois Marathon, and the great opportunity to possibly connect with a lot of athletes that's picking up their bibs and able to kind of let them know about our program. So that's all I have my update for PACE. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mel. That was great. Anybody else have any comments to make? This has all been very helpful. My favorite part of the meeting, actually.
Do we have a Comic Con update?
No?
It's okay, Ann. I'll ask you afterwards. That's just
spicy. Yes, we're counting down the hours now to Comic Con. They are in an hourly countdown now. We have a larger group going this year, I believe 9 people we support and 2 staff. They're all planning on dressing up. I'm envisioning 10 years from now, we may have to close the program. We just didn't have capacity to send more than 9 people. But this is like Christmas and Halloween and every other big event rolled into one. So, look forward to reports, and I've asked for a lot of pictures, so yes.
I was going to say, pictures would be a great idea.
Yes, yes. And if you ever want to go along, Kim, I think you would have a great time.
Where is Comic-Con?
It's in Indianapolis.
Okay, so not too far.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a road trip, which is always fun, but it's not a too long road trip.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Today's Wednesday. Okay.
Sure. Paula has her hand raised online.
Paula. Similar just last year, and unfortunately.
Yes. It's
pull up my pants. I just want to say we had one success, so we did month and the family was the consumer to fight like Dale, some way old, so I'd say why not have the customer come to pay, so the customer could to start to come mean to pains in April. I wanted to make sure we all can move in before she comes. She goes to start to in some paper straight for us. So damn my comments.
All right. Thank you so much. Any questions for Paula? Congratulations on that move. It's not easy. Okay. Are we, anybody else have their hand up?
I see no more hands online.
Okay. Thank you, Chandra.
You're welcome.
Let's see. Leah's not here today, so there is no county board input. Champaign County Mental Health Board input. They're having a study session tonight, which sounds very interesting. No?
That's next week.
It's next week?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
You're in it.
All right, then. Never mind. Okay, Mental Health Board input. That's you.
Well, I don't want you to be too jealous. So I'm going to say the Mental Health Board and the DD Board face kind of really different challenges, big and small. Some of you know that. But they have quite a few more applications to review than the DD Board does across a much broader range of services and agency type. So it gets very complicated, and they're going to end up spending two meetings going through applications. You have the option to ask us for a second meeting if you need it. I think last year we almost, Dr. Robin, when you were president, we almost needed it, and you got through. That's right. So they do, you know, even though they have a few more board members than you, they do have like a much more complicated and time-consuming task. They have less money available than requested, for sure. I don't know what the shortfall is exactly, but they're going to have, as always, a competitive season. And then to make it even harder in April, when we're able to have like sort of a clean one-topic meeting for y'all other than approving minutes, they have to consider their annual report and possibly what to do about several late audits that put agency contracts in jeopardy. So they're going to sing a sweet song for them in April, say a prayer, whatever helps them, because it's going to be a little bit harder of a season possibly for them. Otherwise, the business that they're attending to tonight is very similar to yours. I don't think there's no special presentation. I think it's very similar. They have some art to look at that's related to the Ebert Fest film, anti-stigma film that they're sponsoring. But that's it. So,
all right.
And there's a vacancy on the mental health board. Just saying that.
Okay, board announcements. Are there any? You guys are really quiet today. All right. The last piece of business is the review of closed session minutes. Do we need to go into closed session for this? If somebody has discussion that they want to open up, then we would need to go into closed session for that. If not, then we'll just take a up or down vote, I suppose. And anybody want to make a motion to approve keeping the maintaining the closed minutes? You have to read that.
Well, no, go to the bottom because there's a special motion, request. Yeah, there's a motion. Yeah, at the bottom.
This one.
Right here.
Oh, okay, I see. So the motion is at the bottom of that several paragraph description. Anybody want to make that motion? Motion to accept the February 19th, 2020? Yes.
Yes, I'd like to make the motion to accept the February 19th, 2020, February 26th, 2020, and February 23rd, 2022 closed session minutes as presented to continue maintaining them as closed and to destroy the recordings of the meetings.
And we'll need a second.
I will second that. This okay. is Georgiana.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Okay. Very good. In that case, the meeting is adjourned. Okay. Can we leave these to be shredded?
I'll take them because I will. We have to do this every 6 months.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Here, I'll give you mine.
Rather than filling up my shredder. Sounds good.